Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Dave. We're going to talk about some Russian oil and the tariffs on oil and what that could mean for Louisiana oil and gas in a moment. Have you seen People's Health doing the commercials with our friend Chef Dave's gone. Okay, let's talk about Russian oil. Let's talk about Russian oil then with Pierre Connor, Executive Director of the Tulane Energy Institute. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Doing well this morning. Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time with us. Tell me how big of a player in the world market is Russia when it comes to oil?
Well, sure, Tommy. Let's, it's all a numbers game. So mm-hmm. Let's just kind of note that the world produces and generally consumes about 104 million barrels a day, okay? So maybe round numbers, just call it 100, so we can do percentages.
Wait, you said produces and consumes?
Well, roughly. We're overproducing a bit because there are some countries that are stockpiling right now. Okay. China is purchasing about 1 million barrels a day to grow their strategic reserves. So, you know, over the long term, of course, that'll stay in balance. But in the short term, you do have some storage for different seasonal periods. And then, like China and building for long-term, security reasons. They're building reserves.
You know, I don't mean to sound dumb, but keep in mind I'm no executive director of the Tulane Energy Institute. I never did realize that the production and consumption pretty much equaled out.
Well, it should. Now, we've seen, of course, short-term periods where there's considerable fluctuation. I mean, one of the most obvious ones was COVID, mm-hmm. where the production greatly exceeded the consumption, and we had a glut, and the storage was full, and prices actually went negative.
So,
but to your earlier point, Tommy, so you were asking, how big a player is Russia in the world market? So, you know, we're talking about 4 to 5 million barrels a day of exports. So let's all of us call it, 3 to 4%. That's the number. Now, what's interesting is that, back in 2020, maybe a little more than a third of that made its way to China and India, which we know are big oil importers. And today, as a result of the sanctions we have so far, by the first half of 25, that number is over 80% of that is going to China and India. The United States is obviously not taking any, and very little now is going into Europe as well.
Because of the tariffs?
Well, because of the sanctions. There was a small amount of oil, interestingly enough, that we're really getting into the weeds, but we were actually importing a few hundred thousand barrels a day of Russian crude oil into Louisiana back in 2020 because it was the right grade. Mm-hmm. It was a heavier crude and it was inexpensive.
That has to do with what can be refined, Professor, or not?
Exactly, okay. Exactly. You've heard that before. And
right.
We talk about that. But, one thing to remember is that while they say that all roads lead to Rome, in reality, all the pipelines lead to Louisiana. So we have the infrastructure to bring in the product to be refined and the infrastructure to export the product. We have the rivers and the ports. So, we can handle fluctuations in where the product comes from and goes to.
How important is oil when it comes to the world?
Well, it's pretty important, obviously. 90 plus, even though maybe when we see the news about electrification of transportation in general, United States, more than 90% of transportation is fueled by liquid products, right? By petroleum products. So it's obviously very important. Transportation is economic viability. Also, I think it's important to note that generally, getting into economics a little bit, crude oil in the short term is rather inelastic. That is to say that when the price goes up, we really don't drop our demand that much. Or when the price goes down, we don't increase our consumption that much in the short term. Over time, we could see some bigger fluctuations. So because so much of the demand is very much set for basic needs, getting to and from work, transportation of goods around the country, and the world, frankly.
So the reason I ask that question is, if all pipelines lead to Louisiana and oil is the thing that makes the world go round, shouldn't Louisiana be like a really rich state?
Well, we are rich in resources. Mm. That's for sure. And we are well suited to handle molecules, as they say. We also, of course, now are seeing that we're really good at electrons and the demand that's going on and growth for our electric grid, electrification of industrial processes, plants that are going in, data centers, et cetera. But we're really good about managing, transporting, and processing the molecules associated with both crude oil and natural gas, as we know. Not to sidetrack your conversation, Tommy, mm-hmm. but LNG is obviously a very sure. important component of the growth of the economics of our state.
So I guess I'm just wondering why, if we have that kind of stroke, why are we such a poor state? Why are we 49th or 50th? It would seem as though we'd be right up there with Texas.
Well, we process it. Now, we're getting it from lots of places. So we're getting it from offshore. We're processing crude that's coming to us from the Permian. We're refining products and sending them out. So our petrochemical industry is strong, actually, and doing quite well, driven mostly by the availability of transportation, as I mentioned, pipelines and the river. The river is a great resource that we have.
So when it comes to Russia and the oil that they produce, 4 to 5 million gallons they export, how much do they use that they produce themselves? Do they import any oil?
No. They're one of the oil exporting countries for sure. And then I guess then the point of it is that the revenue stream from exporting the crude oil is what balances their budget. So not getting off into the details, but mm-hmm. That's important to them. Now, I think something interesting that you're alluding to, of course, is, well, if we have additional sanctions and we try to convince some of the purchasing parties to not purchase Russian crude, I think those barrels, there's a lot of discussion about they do make their way to market, but they have to change hands more. There's probably somebody, what they call these shadow fleets of tankers. And so you're seeing they're probably getting a lower price. So while they're not losing production, they're probably losing revenue.
So when it comes to, let me just go back to my initial thought, which is, I always thought that this whole thing was dependent on the Middle East and they can control, because I know not oil is oil, right? There's different type, heavy, light, all sweet, all at different types of oil. But I was always under the impression that this was all a shell game in a way, in that the Middle East could just open the spigot, to use a phrase, and just change the entire oil market in the world if they wanted to. Is that accurate or not?
It's close, Tommy. You're right. I mean, there are different reports out there from the Energy Information Administration of the Department of Energy and others. But there's in the neighborhood of potentially 3 to 4 million barrels a day of, quote, spare capacity. So the bottom line is, what does it mean? You know, what does it mean to me driving to school every day? Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, you're right. You know, OPEC and the extended OPEC countries do have the ability to manage the price. And what we're seeing, coincident with this period of additional sanctions, is that OPEC was actually bringing more oil into the market. And so I think that while I've seen some headlines, you know, we'll see a little spike in gasoline prices, I think that's not going to be the case. Now, remember, about half, when you drive by that pump, about half of that price you're looking at is due to the price of crude oil. So not all of it's crude oil, but about 50% of it, that price.
All right, so let me ask it this way. If OPEC decided to, tell me who the members of OPEC are.
Well, you've got OPEC, of course, which, you know, Saudi Arabia, the largest producer, but then you've got an extended group, which they're roughly not part of OPEC, but participate in OPEC, including Russia.
Okay, so I guess what I'm wondering is, if I'm the business part of Saudi Arabia, and I know there are geopolitical implications as well, but why would I not just open the spigot and make it so cheap that the other people couldn't compete, and then once they shut down, raise the price?
Wow, that's you've lived through these, so that has occurred.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, in the U.S., where we're driven by the capitalism and the profit motive associated with producing oil and gas, yeah, it hurt. And when they do that, that is to say, you know, Saudi Arabia, UAE, and the OPEC members, it's in an effort to drive the capital out of the system in the U.S. Mm-hmm. In other words, to slow down initial investment that begins to take market share. We here, actually, in my courses here with my Master of Management Energy students, we actually study a number of the entities' forecasts. So we look at OPEC and we look at Bloomberg and EIA, and OPEC would like to project stable markets into the future. In other words, let's not get too volatile where you know, prices are too high, and then over, as I mentioned, in the longer term, you know, there are substitute processes. If oil prices were really high, we might all, you know, move back to mass transit. But they would like to see somewhat stable without losing market share. So, you know, sort of restrain the capital investment that comes into upstream oil and gas.
And they're making all the money in the world anyway, so why fool with it, I guess, right? Let's take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back with Pierre Conner, Executive Director of the Tulane Energy Institute, talking about the U.S. slapping new sanctions on Russian oil. What could it mean for Louisiana oil and gas industry and for the prices we pay at the pump? I was looking at the macro picture. We'll look at the micro picture when we come back. Back in a flash, WWL. All right, it's 9:28. We're talking to Pierre Conner, Executive Director of the Tulane Energy Institute, about the U.S. and new sanctions on Russian oil. Somebody texted in, Professor, about the shadow, and I can't read the text here. What did you call it? Shadow fleet, I think?
Right, right. Shadow fleet of tankers, those that are not easily regulated and such that maybe they, you know, take on crude oil and then transport it to some other ships before it makes port, and therefore sort of circumvent some of the sanctions.
So if the idea is to bring Putin to the table as it relates to, and hurt Russia economically as it relates to Ukraine, how effective is this shadow fleet at circumventing the sanctions?
Well, it's partially effective, if you will, in that indeed somebody then, so transportation costs are a component of the price of crude oil delivered to a destination. So if you're a refinery in India or China, and now you have to purchase that crude through a couple of different middlemen brokers, and everybody is getting their piece of it, I would speculate then that the revenue at the source is going to be reduced. It's not going to go to zero. We're not shutting in this production, but it will probably reduce the realization or the price that's actually being realized at the wellhead, as they say.
What does that mean for us here? Does it have anything to do with the price we're going to pay at the pump ultimately?
Well, that obviously is where what it boils down to, I think, for all of us. And so in Louisiana, we benefit from a lower price of gasoline at the pump than the national average. And that's driven by the fact that, as I mentioned, we bring a lot of the product here and refine it into usable products. And so the, you know, about, you know, 30 cents of the gallon, if you will, is due to distribution and marketing, and our distribution costs are going to be lower. But of the total cost, about half of that, so let's call it $1.35, is because of the price of crude oil. I think in the intermediate to longer term, we won't see an impact due to the sanctions, and we have a bigger overriding impact that's due to this OPEC wanting to maintain market share. So I think we actually see fairly stable prices at the pump.
How do you see this ending with the sanctions on Russian oil?
Well, that's a big, I've got to call my friends of professors in political science for that one. Mm-hmm. I mean, and believe me, I can certainly get you in touch with them. I think that, you know, one of the things that's occurring in the oil markets that's of interest.
I meant market forces primarily, though, Professor.
Yes, yeah. Right. Well, I think, you know, if prices can stay stable, we are seeing, you know, production increases even from non-OPEC. So there's a very interesting oil field in Guyana. And that oil field is being developed by Exxon and going to be, you know, over 1 million barrels a day next year, and could it get close to 2 million barrels a day from one field? And then in the context of where we started, if that number is 104 or so, we're talking, you know, a couple percent of the world's oil production that's at least, you know, we would consider it to be somewhat secured and ability for it to reach intended markets. So I think that you'll, you know, you obviously see reduction in revenue to OPEC, less reason for, you know, companies to do the work there. But overall, I think for the individual, we should be comfortable that it's not going to significantly negatively impact us. Or even, frankly, even if actually in a small way.
Somebody else wanted to know if all of the oil reserves in the world have been discovered, or if there are any plays that are yet to be made.
Well, I know of a couple, but I won't put it on the air.
Okay.
So, no, I'm just kidding. Of course. So I think that the answer is there was, a, you know, 30 years ago, there was a famous economist predicted that we had discovered all the world's oil and that we'd be on a decline from a supply side. Mm-hmm. And I believe in market forces. And so as if the price of oil were to rise, I think that you see incremental exploration, much like this Guyana field I spoke of. Or frankly, Tom, you bring in the innovation and the technology and the ingenuity of the oil field, and we created the fracking business, if you will, you know, around 2008, and it greatly increased the supply of crude oil. So there are probably reserves that are untapped due to the economics, and there, you know, there's still some exploration going on, yes.
Thank you, sir. Any final thoughts?
Well, I think that, you know, while it's interesting, we would, you know, we all should look at the price of gasoline and pay attention to it as it's telling us something about oil and gas. But, you know, it's more visible than it impacts us, Tommy. You know, I think about, you know, we're only a couple of percent of our, you know, income is being spent in gasoline, frankly, although it is somewhat regressive, right? Those lower income or those are required to drive to work and don't have any other options to work from home, you know, it's certainly negatively impacted. So keeping the price of gasoline stable is probably a good thing, and trying to balance that with issues like sanctions on countries, and we've already got, you know, Iran and Venezuela and others, is quite a balancing act, but it makes the markets quite interesting.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time and your insights. Pierre Conner, Executive Director of the Tulane Energy Institute. 9:35, 25 till 10, we'll talk to Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly, about the special session in Baton Rouge, also about the governor's involvement with the LSU football coach. Right now, it's time for traffic on WWL. It is 9:44, 16 till 10. I'm Tommy Tucker here on WWL. Jeremy Alford joins us, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly. How you doing, Jeremy?
Hey, Tommy. Good morning.
Everybody's all settled in college and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw your tweet, just making sure everything's good. Let's talk about the special session. How special is it?
It's got that special feeling, for sure. It seems like it's starting to wind down there, Tommy. I think lawmakers could adjourn as early as tomorrow. It looks like they came in with a very simple goal of pushing back the closed primary elections by a month for 2026. And the Senate version of that proposal is moving through our House committee as we speak. It's mostly passing along party lines. There hasn't been a whole lot of speed bumps or hiccups. Democrats have done their best to let their opposition be known. Not much success on that front inside the Capitol, but there was a protest outside the Capitol yesterday. A few hundred people got together and they heard from...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Various leaders like legislative Black Caucus Chair Edmund Jordan, who made the argument that everything is at stake for Democrats in this moment, that this is all about the congressional districts and the congressional map, but what comes next, what offices and what elections. So, you know, it's a high-stakes game for Democrats, but it looks like Republicans at the end of the day are going to get what they want.
So as a result of that, what's going to change, Jeremy?
So, you know, there's two big things to watch right now. Right now, we're waiting on the U.S. Supreme Court to come back with a decision that may overturn Louisiana's congressional map, at which point lawmakers will have to draw a new map. We don't know when that decision is going to come. So this special...
Let me slow you down right a little bit, if I can, just so I can keep up here and the audience can as well, I think. So the Supreme Court is hearing the case against the redistricting maps that said the redistricting maps were drawn based on the census and required two majority Black districts, but then suit was filed, and the Supreme Court is seeing if, in fact, race should be a determining factor, and then that leads back to the Voting Rights Act. Am I even close there?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Okay. So we're going to have a decision here at some point from the Supreme Court, possibly overturning those maps, and lawmakers would have to go in and draw a new map. It looks like Republicans are going to get rid of one of the two majority Black districts to increase the Republican count in Louisiana's congressional delegation.
Subject to the Supreme Court ruling.
That's right. Okay. That's right. So this special session is all about buying a little bit of time so lawmakers can do that comfortably. Right now, we have a closed primary election set for next year on April 18th. If this legislation passes, it would move it back to May 16th with runoffs in June. It also moved back qualifying, which is in January, where candidates have to go and sign up for these offices, it would move it back to February 11th. So you're pushing everything back a month. Mm-hmm. And lawmakers are hopeful that, we'll see a Supreme Court decision by the end of the year, which would give them enough time to, get into another special session to redraw the map.
Normally, the Supreme Court decisions come out in June. So is this on some kind of expedited path, Jeremy?
I'm not sure exactly how to describe it. Mm-hmm. You know, depending on who you talk to, Tommy, the House and Governmental Affairs Chairman in the state legislature believes that a decision has already been made and that justices are currently writing that opinion and trying to move forward with it. So, you know, a lot of folks are hopeful that it's going to come this calendar year.
When it comes to qualifying being later, does that give anybody an advantage in any race?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, it certainly builds in a little bit of extra time for these candidates. Obviously, I think consultants, they win because they'll get paid a little bit more. but, you know, right now, you know, this is really about the U.S. House. And whether Troy Carter or Congressman Cleo Fields are going to end up losing their districts. So, you know, in terms of the timing, I'm not sure. It is an interesting question that has come up because there is a Supreme Court precedent that warns legislatures against kind of monkeying with elections too close to the election date. But folks,
wait, say that part again, Jeremy.
There is a Supreme Court precedent.
Okay.
That warns legislatures against moving around election days or changing election rules too close to an election.
Mm-hmm.
But those who are in favor of this plan argue that, hey, we're actually adding more time to the election calendar. We're giving voters more time than they have now. So you know, the timing issue is definitely interesting from there. From a candidate perspective, you know, right off the top of my head, I don't see an advantage for anyone except for, you know, what's going to play out with these two majority black districts and the sitting congressman.
Let's talk about the senator race. Bill Cassidy, who's likely to challenge him, or do we know yet completely who's?
So we did get a surprise this week. State Representative Julie Emerson, she's the Ways and Means Chair, announced her candidacy. That is interesting because we're all kind of waiting to see what Congressman Julia Letlow is going to do. Mm-hmm. She has yet to say very clearly whether she's going to run in this race or not. There's been a lot of speculation about her having the support of Donald Trump and Jeff Landry. I think a lot of folks assumed that Julie Emerson would not run unless Julia Letlow backed out. Mm-hmm. But we haven't heard any official word from Julia Letlow. Meanwhile, there's a, you know, a growing slate of other Republicans who are looking at it. Eric Scarmetta, the public service commissioner from Jefferson Parish, Blake Miguez, state senator from New Iberia, and our state treasurer, John Fleming. And of course, all three of those Republican men are running on the same kind of pro-Trump messaging that Bill Cassidy is running on.
Is it all about, because we know Trump and Cassidy have had some issues in the past, is it all about Trump's endorsement? Is he the kingmaker when it comes to this, or the queenmaker?
I mean, yeah, I think if he gets involved, that'll create the biggest ripple in the pond for sure. And of course, he has some history with Bill Cassidy. Bill Cassidy went from voting to convict Donald Trump and barring him from ever running for public office to just a few weeks ago filing a resolution to nominate him for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
So he's, at least on Bill Cassidy's side, he has had somewhat of a change of heart.
But, at least on his side, but you got to wonder on the president's side if the president can have a long memory when it comes to these things.
Oh, most certainly. And he is not quick to forgive, and I don't think he has forgotten either.
Okay, let's talk about the governor and the LSU coach. What do you know about that?
Well, you know, that was the least surprising thing about all this, Tommy, was that Jeff Landry was at that table.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, of course, Huey Long was heavily involved in LSU sports. John McKithen famously punched out a window in the governor's limousine when LSU lost to Texas A&M in 1970, and then fought against the firing of Jerry Stovall. So it's nothing new, but look.
It always goes back to Texas A&M, doesn't it?
That's right. We have no permanent president at LSU. We only have an interim president. So that figurehead is kind of missing from the equation. So it seems like, it was natural for Jeff Landry to step up in that void. But anyone who knows Jeff Landry and his style probably isn't surprised that he sat down at this table. I mean, especially with the LSU Board of Supervisors looking to increase the price of tickets next year, Jeff Landry started kind of being vocal about that, especially in light of the coaching situation before the Brian Kelly controversy kind of went down and then he was let go.
Do I remember Huey Long reading that Huey Long would actually go on the field and give the officials seemingly chewing them out, but actually just ask them where they were going to eat dinner while going through all these machinations and so forth?
Oh yeah, he was not a shy man whatsoever. And also with Jeff Landry, let's not forget this is the guy who brought the tiger
right
back on the field. So, you know, he's got his hands in all of that.
Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate your time and insights as always. Jeremy Alford, editor-publisher of La Politics Weekly. You can follow him on Twitter at
La Politics Now.
La Politics Now. That's what it was. Right. Okay, good. 9:53, taking a break, coming back. WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.